7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
God. Hello. It is 1930 UTC, and that means it's time to begin another extraordinarily exciting Dubious Goals Committee. Hello, my name is Tobe. I am the chairman of the Dubious Goals Committee, and once again, I'm out on the frozen tundra. The frozen tundra. I need to be here because, in reality, where I live in Omaha, Nebraska, it's another 39-degree day. It's too hot to function. Oh, by the way, that's about 100 degrees for all my American listeners. So it's super-duper hot outside. I can't do anything except sit around indoors with my cat, who's right here with me. Hi, babies, in the kitty pit. A few minutes ago, she came downstairs. She thought I was in the office, so she was outside the door meowing. And I was sitting in here going, hee-hee-hee. And then when she came in here and she saw me, she said, oh, hi. And then we had to get in the kitty business pit. Yeah. So that's why I am out here on the frozen tundra today looking for reindeer. Because that's what I do. I look for reindeer. And when I'm not looking for reindeer, I'm looking for foxes, and I'm looking for marmots and other cool stuff. So, what kind of animals do we have out here on the tundra? We've got some reindeer, and I think I see a yes, that's a herd of reindeer right up here. Let's go up here and see what's going on with all these reindeers out here. Oh, look at all these reindeer! Oh, yes, look. Hello, reindeer friends. Oh, are you enjoying the day on the tundra? Yes, it's so tundra-y here. Oh, look at all these cute little reindeer. They're so nice. Okay, I'll see you guys later. I'm going to keep going this way. Oh, yes. Look at that. We've only been doing this show for 3 minutes, and we already found all the reindeer. We found all the reindeer, didn't we, Dingins? Dingins here is standing up, turning 90 degrees, and sitting back down. Oh, I'm developing a cough out here on the tundra. So I better drink some tea. Oh, let's pour some tea. Yeah. It's another beautiful day out here on the tundra. Oh, and I bet you're wondering, what's the temperature out on your tundra, Tobe? It's negative 14 degrees. Not including the wind chill. That's why I need to drink this yummy tea. Dahong Pao sure tastes great out here on the tundra.
Right, Pippa, do you like to visit the tundra?
The cat's rubbing her forehead up against my arm because both of my hands are now occupied. I gotta hold the microphone with one hand and a teacup with the other hand, which means my cat doesn't get petted. Hi! Yes, they got one hand back on that. Keep one hand on the cat at all times. That's what kitties say. Look at this squinty-faced baby. Why are you so squinty? Is the wind blowing so hard you have to keep your eyes half closed? Yeah, that's what kitties do.
That's why you're a kitty Bazingans. Yes, you're a kitty Mazooper. A kitty Bing Bongler.
Alright, so anyway. Speaking of tundra and reindeer and various frozen wastelands, I got to thinking about a little bit something weird last night. Not sure how this started, but, well, yeah, I kind of do. I was sitting here and I was thinking about oh, you know, just folk tales in general. And, oh, wait a minute. Before I go on, what's this up here? Oh, I think this is another herd of reindeer. Oh, we better go up here and investigate these reindeer. Wow, actual reindeer. I can't believe it. Genuine reindeer on the tundra. Just roaming free. These are some weird looking reindeer, though. I gotta tell you, I had no idea there was so many different kinds of reindeer that all make such interesting sounds. Aren't you impressed too, Pippa? Yes, Pippa says, oh, we like all these different kinds of reindeer. They're so nice. Yes, they're lovely. Anyway, so I was sitting here last night thinking about various folk tales and stories and folk heroes and that kind of thing. And I started realizing, yeah, you know, a lot of these ideas and concepts, these tropes and folk tales, they translate through culture. We have the same tropes in different cultures, whether they are imported or develop independently, doesn't really matter, but it happens. And one specific example that I usually think of is the Seven League Boots. And you know, we have cultures around the world that have the equivalent of Seven League Boots, some kind of magic shoes that can make you go really fast or travel really far with no effort, etc., blah, blah, blah. But we're on the tundra. We're up here in the tundra, okay? What about the indigenous peoples who grew up in frozen wastelands? Do they have Seven League Boots in their folklore? For example, the Saumi people in Finland, or anybody living above the Arctic Circle. I was thinking about this. Do they have an equivalent but isn't exactly Seven League Boots? Like, for example, do they have Seven League skis? Okay, see where I'm going with this? Do they have skis that are magical? And in fact, is their folkloric trope uphill skis? That's what I want to know. That's what I figured out last night. You know, there's probably some people on this planet somewhere whose folklore includes uphill skis. What are uphill skis? Uphill skis are skis that are magic or pulled by spirits or whatever, but they allow you to ski uphill. You know, skiing is usually a gravity-powered thing, so you're usually going downhill. But again, folklore, magic, blah, blah, blah. Surely there's a culture somewhere who has developed uphill skis. Question is, now how do you look this up? I don't know enough people. I don't know enough, you know, indigenous people from the Arctic region. I don't think I know anybody from the Arctic region. Man, think about all the weird people I know. I gotta know somebody. Anyway, if you happen to be an indigenous person from an Arctic region, let me know if you have uphill skis in your folklore and mythology. I'm really curious to find out.
You know, never take the tundra lightly. It can drive a man insane. You know what it is about this place? You get to a man.
Not really.
Have a look through here. What do you see?
Nothing.
Exactly. It's the nothingness. The whiteness. The endlessness. Stretching on beyond the human imagination. Desolation of the soul. Oh my God!
Eyes glow, nowhere to go. Eyes glow, nowhere to go. Lost in the blinding whiteness of the tundra.
Check him out. They call him the True. Arms in short, then with the claw.
I'm little Johnny Frostbite, moving around, freezing you up, freezing you down, like an icicle, coming in your tent in the pink light, scissor bite.
Arctic death,
infinite night,
call me Tundra Boy, because I move like an Arctic
lizard.
When the blizzard strikes, I disappear like a pipe dream.
All that's left is the gleam.
On a tent peg,
boosh, boosh, stronger than a moose. loose. Don't lock your door or we'll come through your rooftop. Stop, look around, take your mind off the floor, cause the bush is loose and we're a little bit low. Ice flow, nowhere to go. Ice flow, nowhere to go. Lost in the blinding whiteness of the tundra.
Yeah?
Alright. Proved your point in song format.
Yeah, well, maybe you'll take this place a little bit more seriously now.
Yeah, because you gotta take the tundra seriously. Very seriously, because this is serious. Oh, I do love having points proven in song format. A little Vince Noir there, along with his pal Howard Moon, who are also apparently lost on a tundra somewhere in the Arctic. Yeah, it happens sometimes. Anyway, last night I was sitting here thinking of stuff, and somehow, well, this makes some kind of sense because we'll get into how that. No, we won't. We're going to skip a bunch of garbage. And so I invented a new thing. It's a new kind of food, and this is brilliant. And I know you're going to think it's genius. You're going to think, oh my God, Tobe, develop the recipe. Because clearly you're some kind of taco genius. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, this must have something to do with tacos. Yeah, it does. So I was thinking about tacos. And I was thinking about pancakes. And then I was thinking about pancake tacos suddenly, and I realized, oh my God, I am some kind of taco genius. Yeah, now imagine this. Imagine a taco that is a pancake taco. And when I say a pancake taco, I mean the pancake is the tortilla. And then you put carne asada on it. Or, you know, pork carnitas. And then some pico de gallo. And some guacamole. And some hot sauce, because I love hot sauce. And then you eat it. And I know what you're thinking, Tobe, that would be terrible. No. Think about it. Start thinking about it. Yes, that would be awesome. Except I can't really eat pancakes anymore. Although I could probably eat a couple, especially if they were made into tacos. That would be delicious. And I keep thinking about this. I cannot stop thinking about the pancake tacos. Yeah, it sounds silly and crazy, but no. It makes perfect sense. My only concern is, will the tacos, or will the pancakes fold? Will they fold well enough to hold all the taco stuff while you're eating the tacos? Or are they just going to break? Am I going to have to develop a specific pancake recipe to create, you know, tortilla pancakes for pancake tacos? Yeah, maybe. Might have to do some work to make... Hi. The cat has returned. Hi, baby. Where are you going? You want to go get some drinks? Go get a drink. You want to eat some snacks? Oh, no, you're going to be a kitty loaf right here on the banky with me? What a surprise. So I might have to develop a special pancake recipe for more elastic pancakes so that they can, you know, be used as tortillas. But then they might not taste like pancakes as much anymore. And, yeah, you can see where this really becomes a problem. guess I'm glad that I came out to the tundra after all, because here we are just walking around. And oh, we ran into one of my favorite bands. It was Otukun with their hit song Storm, a very appropriate song to be playing out here on the tundra today. Right, Pippa? Yeah, Pippa came back and now she's sitting in the kitty business bed. Hello, kitty business cats. Yeah, she's got one of her rear paws up on my ankle. Her two front rear paws are trying to penetrate the banky and try to shred my thighs. And then her head is tucked into my knee, back in behind my knee. Hi. Hi, squinty baby. What are you doing down here?
Yes, you're doing kitty business.
My cat's trying to fall asleep in the kitty business pit. There's no sleeping in the kitty business pit. This is for business. My cat doesn't care. All right, so I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, so you're lost out on the tundra somewhere. Do you have any idea where you are? Well, maybe. This is getting weird because I just realized I might be in Hokkaido. Why do I think I'm in Hokkaido? Well, you're not going to believe this, but way up ahead, I think I can see an Awa Adori Festival starting to take place. Yep, I'm in Japan, suddenly, because of the tundra. Oh yes, this is most assuredly an Awa Odori festival. I recognize the hats. That's how you can tell. It's always the hats. I love this stuff. This is a secret that I've been keeping from you, my dear and loyal listeners. For the last couple days, I've been watching a lot of videos. And I don't know what it is. I think it's the music. The cat's leaving again. Where are you going, Stinky? Oh, you don't want to listen to the Awa Adori music? All right, so the cat wandered off. But can you blame her? What do we have going on here? It's a huge parade. Look at this. Right up in front here, we've got... Geez, we've got 8... or 10 wide by 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 10 rows of 8 to 10 feet. That's 100 to 80 shamisen players. And then after that, we've got the bamboo flute players. And they're 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8 wide. And 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14 rows deep. Yeah, we're talking about 120 something flute players. I can't get enough of this. And then once the flute players walk by, then we have all the drummers. And we've got two kinds of drums. We've got big like bass drums that are at least 70 centimeters in diameter. There's 40 of those, and we got another 40, 50 of smaller drums. They look like snare drums, but they're worn on belts or harnesses around the waist, and they obviously don't have any snares. And then all of the drummers sort of work their way to the side of the road. They're clearing space, and then there's guys who are actually sort of pushing the drummers back, and they have to make room because now the ladies are going to march through. There's the female dancers. The women dancers come first. And again, they have the same hats on. These hats are straw, and they're just circles that are folded in half, and then they put them on their heads. And they've got on their cute kimonos, and they all have matching obi. They're all black. And they do this dance step. And I'm particularly interested in this dance step. I really enjoy it. I don't know why. it's this sort of formalized walk, but it's sort of tiptoe. And the only way to describe this is, if you understand the concept of Japanese geta, the shoe, the traditional wooden shoe that has the two little cleats, well, as the women walk forward, they step forward and they're walking all tippy-toe. And they have their feet tipped so that the tip of their geta and that first cleat are what's supporting them. This is hard to describe. You kind of need to see it. And so these, how many are there? There's one, two, three. It's eight wide by, there's 80 women. There's 80 or 100 women. And they're all doing this dance and they come walking up. And followed behind them are the men who are dressed unusually. They all have happy coats on and some of them are carrying hand lanterns. And they wear handkerchiefs over their heads that they tie under their noses, which is confusing because I thought that was like the traditional burglar or I'm the criminal thing. I don't know. It's confusing to me, and I'm not sure why this festival happens. I mean, I'm sure this is in celebration of something, right? I just don't know what it is a celebration of. Okay, here come the ladies. They're dancing now. And this is all taking place on a big street or road, and they've shut it down, and there's actual like grandstands set up for people to watch all this going down. There's a giant proscenium in the background, and they come marching through this proscenium. It might supposed to be a gate, but it's kind of weak. There are some lanterns involved, including those big pole arm lanterns. Love those. Anyway, one of the reasons that I'm so interested in this is I'm absolutely fascinated by this music. Here, listen to it. And I know what you might be thinking. You're thinking, Tobe, you just like that music because it sounds like Muay Thai fighting music. It's like, no, kinda. The thing that fascinates me about this music is that I think I could synthesize this. I think I could fake this. I think that I could set up a synthesizer to play music like this. And it would be like electronic awa odori. I'm not saying they should use my music in the festivals and they should dance to it. I'm just saying that I like the way this sounds so much and I recognize so many potential generative qualities of this music that I think I could get a synth to do something along this nature. I have some of the hardware. What I don't have is the specific drums machine or drum sampler. I'm not doing samples, no sampling, Tobe. What I need is a couple of drum modules, and I can do flute. I got a good wind synth. I can't get enough of this. All these ladies in their kimonos. These are short sleeve kimonos, or actually I should say like more like medium sleeve kimonos. So apparently they're all married. And they come walking up doing their fancy high step and walk. And they got their arms above their head. And the music speeds up a little bit. Accelerando. And they're doing their dance and all smiling. And I love some of these because every once in a while the music stops. The dancers change formation and they do these chants. What are they saying? I don't know. I wish I knew. They're doing these chants and they're sounding so happy and so fun. It's crazy. I want to do this. I need to go to Japan whenever this festival is taking place because here come the guys now. They got their handkerchiefs tied over their head. They got the hobby coats. There's just ranks and ranks of different colored guys and with different... Wait, what is that lantern? Okay, there's a lantern that's blue on the edges and white in the middle. And they've always got little kids involved in this, and little kids know how to do this little step and the dance, and they're having lots of fun, and I want to do this. And I don't mean I want to make some of this music. I actually want to go to Japan, and I need to have these guys teach me, how do you do this move? How do you do this wacky dance move? And I don't know what's going on exactly, but it looks like the guys are playing some kind of clown role. They are the jokester. The women are serious and looking beautiful and having fun. And these guys are kind of dressed up like dorks, running around behind them doing stupid stuff. I love this. And I'm running out of time. Because I did actually do something with my synthesizer last night that is very generative and it's very cool, and I thought maybe we would talk about it today, but no, I got trapped out on some kind of tundra. And then an Awa Adori festival broke out in the middle of the tundra. So maybe we'll have to do this tomorrow. Because it occurs to me, what I've done with my synthesizer, what I did with it last night, you know, if you just change the sounds, we could get something that sounded like this. I've already got the algorithm. I'm very proud of myself. So yeah, maybe you will hear this tomorrow on the Dubious Goals Committee, a show that airs every single day at 19:30 UTC right here on Anon Radio. My name's Tobe, and now I gotta go do some stuff and watch another football game.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.